Amen. Restore the joy. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12, as we continue with that theme of joyful Christian living. Hebrews chapter 12. When you find your place, I invite you to stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 12, I will begin reading in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. This morning, Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is very real, genuine joy that can be found in Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for your presence in the life of every child of God. And Lord, now as we look into your word, we ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. And God, that each one of us would make sure that we, before we leave here today, that we have the true joy of God radiating in our lives, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning is the third and final message discussing the subject of joyful Christian living. A couple of weeks ago, you'll recall that we talked about joy through prayer and how that we have the wonderful assurance that as we pray, whatever we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, according to His will, we can have our joy fulfilled and overflowing through our prayer. Last week, you'll recall that we examined in the book of Acts in chapter 24, the admonition that we find there of the Apostle Paul in letting us know that none of these things move me, so that I might keep my eyes fixed on the ministry and being able to fulfill that with joy. And we talked about the importance of having joy through purpose and the wonderful purpose that God gives to every one of His children who come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But today we're going to look at a third aspect, and this is one of those perhaps less comfortable aspects. This is one of those that we might just as soon look away from, but it's joy through pain. Joy through pain. James tells us, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Now, I don't know about you, but if I know something painful lies ahead, I don't really, my first reaction is not to get all excited and jubilant about that wonderful opportunity. I realize I have not yet reached the ripe age of 40. That hovers over the horizon here in the month of October of this year. But you know, one of the things that I am beginning to become ever aware of is it seems like every time I go to the dentist, there's a little bit more pain that I end up leaving with. Not going with, but leaving with than I had when I got there. The dentist was very kind and gracious with their modern technology and putting the wand in my mouth and showing me that one of the teeth that I have back here is cracked. And she said, "Now that's going to cause some pain." I thought, "That's a brilliant statement you've made there, Doc. Let me tell you about that pain that I feel every now and then." And then, of course, the joy and the thrill of having some of those older fillings now replaced, and all of a sudden the new sensitivity and the new pain that comes from that. And my children are often wondering, "What is wrong with Daddy as we're eating?" And all of a sudden it's, "Ah, you know, and they're, what's the matter, Dad?" "Oh, I hit one of those teeth again." Not looking forward to that. But do you realize that the child of God who has Jesus Christ in his heart as his personal Lord and Savior can, and really biblically should, find joy even in suffering and in pain. Now, I'm not saying that if someone comes up to you and jabs you in your side, that you should say, wow, that feels good. I'm not saying that, you know, if you were to go out and preparing lunch this afternoon, cut one of your fingers, that you should say, wow, isn't that feel exciting? But I'm talking about the joy that can be found through following the example as we examine a Christ-centered life through following the example of Jesus Christ Himself. There are three key aspects when we think of having joy through pain as found in our passage here this morning. First of all, goes back to that word that we've discussed already in a different context, and that is our focus. The Bible says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. I'll never forget a number of years ago and going to visit someone in the hospital. In fact, down at Georgetown University Hospital, was there because they were getting ready to have a baby. And I walked in there and, you know, I thought, not knowing everything about it at that point in time and didn't have all of our four children, I looked on the wall and I thought, man alive, you know, I'm wondering if they know that this lady who's about to give birth is going to have such pain that she's going to want to kill somebody. And so they went ahead and put a bullseye on the wall so that if she gets a gun handy and she needs to fire, she at least knows where to fire. And I started thinking, you know, I'm not so sure this is really what I want. The type of experience I'm looking forward to having as God sees fit to bless us with children. And then I was talking with her and some friends actually from the church at that point in time before they moved away. And she said, that is the focal point. She said, that is the object that they have told us that when those pains come on and when that labor gets intense, that if you can keep your eyes fixed on a fixed point, that it will help at least to distract your mind from some of the pain that you are feeling. Now, I know you mothers out there are saying, right, tell me another one, okay? What do you know about childbirth? I'm just repeating what I've been told from another mother. So we think of, though, in our Christian lives, of really seeking to look at Jesus Christ even when we are going through very dark and difficult and even painful times. You know, when we look at Jesus, we're looking away from our pain. Now, have you ever thought about that? You know, when you think of the trials that you face, and maybe you're going through one right now, and maybe it's a physical trial, or maybe it's something that's going on in your home, or maybe it's something that's going on in your workplace. And you know, when that is what consumes you, it is impossible to focus on that and still focus on God. It's impossible to be consumed with this pain, this trial, this struggle, this problem, this difficulty, and still be looking at Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to looking unto Jesus, that doesn't mean that around us that everything is going to be perfectly fine. There is not one verse in the Scriptures that supports the claim that somehow when you get saved, you cease having problems. Because if that were the case, myself included, we'd all have to leave this morning if we were supposed to be here without having any problems. But what happens is, when I look unto Jesus and I keep my thoughts focused on Him, I keep my mind focused on what Christ wants from me, on what Christ desires from my life, it's a lot more difficult for me to equally keep focused on all of the problems and difficulties and pain that I may be feeling down here. But you know, one of the things about pain is that it does cause us to look to God. A.T. Robertson wrote, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, for He is the goal." You think of what God desires for you and for me. He wants us to make sure that we are focused always on Him so that we can find that joy that the unsaved carnal man can never know or appreciate. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 8, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Now, some of you may be thinking this morning, okay, so we're supposed to look unto Jesus. We think of Him as the author and finisher of our faith. But how am I supposed to look unto Jesus when I can't physically, visibly see Him? We're looking forward to having a family mission trip, as has been announced, and looking forward to taking a number of people down to Guayaquil, Ecuador. And one of the interesting facts about that city is similar to the city there in Brazil. They have, up on a mountain, some artist conception of what Jesus Christ is like, and they have Him up there in a statue up on the top of that hill. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, no one knows what Jesus Christ looks like who is alive today. No one can tell you through a painting, through a statue, through an icon, what Jesus Christ looks like. And so the way that I am to look unto Jesus is by maintaining a close, personal, constant walk with my Savior. And I accomplish that through spending time in His Word. Because you want to know what this book teaches me about? This book teaches me what God is all about. You know, I should be able to look into the Word of God on a daily basis and learn more about my Savior. But you know what so many times we want to do is we say, well, you know, preacher, we heard that message on Wednesday, but I've been a little busy Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I just haven't had much time for that. In fact, I've got so many problems and so many things going on at work and so many things that are upside down that I just haven't had the time really to spend reading my Bible, but I sure do hope God helps me through this. If you ever want to have joy through pain, spend time looking unto Jesus. Allow the Word of God to truly come into your heart and give you that strength that we all need in those difficult times. We think of Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, "For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." So this week, when things suddenly don't take the right direction according to your plan, make sure your focus is fixed on Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Philippians 2:8, "Being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You know, sometimes when we think of suffering, if we'd really be honest with ourselves, it's not true suffering. Take, for instance, the example of the man in Texas who was driving through Texas as a New Yorker and he collided with a truck carrying a horse. A few months later, he tried to collect damages for his injuries. "How can you now claim to have all of these injuries?" asked the insurance company's lawyer. "According to the police report, at the time you said you were not hurt." "Look," replied the New Yorker, "I was lying on the road in a lot of pain, and I heard someone say the horse had a broken leg. The next thing I know, this Texas Ranger pulls out his gun and shoots the horse. And then he turns to me and asks, 'Are you okay?'" You know, he didn't want to find the remedy of that ranger trying to put him out of his misery. And so, sure, I'm fine. Everything's okay. But you know, when it comes to our personal daily walk, there are a lot of things that can be painful. Because you and I have fleshly bodies. And these bodies are subject to all kinds of infirmities of the flesh. But how wonderful it is to realize that even in pain and suffering, if I look unto Jesus, I can find true joy. But not only is it a matter of our focus, but it's a matter of our fortitude. Our fortitude. The Bible says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame." You know, Peter writes, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." Are you really happy when it comes to being reproached for the name of Christ? Do you find joy? You know, we think of Jesus Christ and we think of all of the agony that He went through. And literally, it is impossible for you and for me to fully understand and appreciate everything that Jesus Christ suffered. You know, you think back to the time when you have failed the Lord, or perhaps thinks back to the time prior to your salvation, and that heavy weight and burden of sin that you carried with you day after day after day, and constantly trying to find relief somewhere, trying to find help. You think perhaps as a Christian of the times when you failed the Lord and how your heart has been so heavy and contemplating, how could I fail my Savior? How could I fail the one who shed His blood for me and gave His life on the cross of Calvary? And now, if you were to multiply that weight by every single person that has ever walked the face of the earth, and if Jesus Christ had never had 1 ounce of physical suffering, that spiritual suffering of having the weight of the sins of the world upon Him would be far beyond anything you and I could ever come close to comprehending. So, if Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, was able to endure the cross for the joy that was set before Him, then how silly of me to think that I can't somehow find strength and fortitude in that same Savior just because of a little bit of pain or suffering that I may be going through. How wonderful it is to realize that Jesus Christ cares about you. He cares about me. He is desirous of helping us to have joy-filled lives. We think of the fact of reproach. Think of the examples of Peter and John, how grateful that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. When the Bible says in Acts 5 and verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Have you ever rejoiced because of suffering that you have endured? Have you ever rejoiced because of pain that you have encountered? The Bible says that Jesus Christ, His own self, bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead and dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 48. Keep your finger here in Hebrews. Isaiah chapter 48. When it comes to finding fortitude through pain, fortitude in Jesus Christ, we find here that that really is a privilege that we have from the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah 48 and verse 10, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Historians tell us that Charles Spurgeon had a plaque on a wall in his bedroom with this verse on it. And he wrote, "It is no mean thing to be chosen of God. God's choice makes chosen men choice men. We are chosen not in the palace, but in the furnace. In the furnace, beauty is marred, fashion is destroyed, strength is melted, glory is consumed. Yet here eternal love reveals its secrets and declares its choice." Have you ever looked at pain and suffering as something that God has divinely chosen for you? Now, certainly, I'm not discounting the consequences of sin, and I'm not talking about the Bible lets us know very clearly That there are consequences for our sin, and that that is a sowing and reaping process that we are all going to participate in. But when it comes to pain and suffering, it is wonderful to realize that I can find strength in the example of Jesus Christ, even in the midst of the darkest time. But also we think of how we are able to despise the shame, to endure the cross, how Jesus was able to do that. And so too can we, because we now have His Spirit resting upon us. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost," in Romans 14 and in verse 17. The Bible reminds us in Galatians 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and the passage continues. So we can find strength, fortitude, not in ourselves, not in some magical formula that I can commit to memory, but rather in my Savior, to whom I can look. But also, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The third matter of looking to Jesus, we find our focus, our fortitude, and also our future. Our future. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I've already made mention of part of this passage here, but I'd like for us to look at another portion. 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 13. Jesus Christ, while He was here on this earth, knew what was ahead of Him. And therefore, He was able to go through all of the pain and agony of bearing our sins upon Him on that tree. But so too can we, as the Bible teaches us in 1 Peter 4 and verse 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. It is going to be a wonderful day when those of us, as a part of the body of Christ, to have put our faith and trust in Him for forgiveness of our sins, will come back to this earth and reign for 1,000 years. The Bible says in Revelations 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You know, it may be difficult right now. And you may be thinking to yourself at this very moment, you know, Pastor, there's not another soul in this auditorium who can understand the pain in which I find myself right now. And I tell you, it's been going on for such a long time that I don't see how I could ever find true joy. No, you can find true joy if you'll focus back on Jesus Christ, if you seek to find your strength in Him, and if you recall what lies ahead for every child of God. Looking forward to spending eternity with Jesus Christ, being able to be there at His feet, and to worship Him forever and ever. We also think of our future and realize that God is going to wipe away all tears one day. The Bible says in Revelation 21 and verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, it's always disheartening for those who have chronic pain to have a doctor tell them there is a new medicine that is out and I guarantee you it's going to take away your pain. And their hopes immediately rise and they start taking the medication and start following the treatment plan. And then all of a sudden they don't see the results. But do you realize that Jesus Christ is going to take away all pain, not through a pill, but through His power and His presence when for eternity we are with Him in heaven. We also think of the daily struggles that we face. And you say, hey, you know, it's going to be wonderful, but I'm not there yet. I don't have that glorified body. This body still hurts. It still aches. There are still pains. There are still suffering. There are still difficulties. Keep in mind also that the same Savior who's preparing mansions for us up in heaven, a place for us, for those who have put our faith and trust in Him, is equally interested in giving us today the presence that we need. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I don't know what appointments you will have this week that will cause you pain. I don't know what suffering you may be going through at this exact moment. But I know one thing for certain. If you will look unto Jesus, if you will focus on Him, you will find the fortitude and the strength that you need. And if you can reflect on how wonderful that future is going to be, you too will be able to say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. How wonderful it is today that when it comes to the matter of all of eternity, there is one answer, and it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not found in this church or in any other church. It's not found in this denomination or any other denomination. It's found in Jesus Christ alone. Are you looking at Him this morning? Have there been things that have happened in your life in the last weeks or months that have caused you to begin to not look so much up to Him, but to look around you? Have you taken time to thank God that He's chosen you in the furnace of affliction? Are you grateful for that pain? Realizing that that will help you again to redirect your attention back on Jesus Christ, to thank Him for all that He has done. The Scriptures go on and on and on, example after example of those who found strength in the darkest hour. But so too can you this morning. You can be joyful through pain in Jesus Christ. It's not some super pious claim, but it's simply a principle found in the Word of God. And I ask you today, you say that you're a child of God. You say that you're a Christian. Are you walking by this book? Are you living by this book? Are you taking time yesterday? Will you take time today? Are you going to take time tomorrow to look unto Jesus through His Word so that you can be all that God wants you to be? If you will look unto Jesus, you can very sincerely find joy through pain. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Father in heaven this morning, it is a privilege, Lord, and honestly a thrill to be able to proclaim and preach Your Word this morning, that we too can find joy in pain if we will look unto Jesus. God, I'm afraid that the world and all of its enticements all too easily distracts us from looking unto You. Father, too often difficulties loom above us and cause us to forget to look unto Jesus. But God, I pray today that everyone here would examine his heart. Lord, maybe they're going through extreme difficulties. God, that their attention would be focused back on You, that they would seek to find that strength to be able to endure the pain and the suffering here. And God, that they would reflect on that wonderful future that awaits every child of God. But Lord, I also realize there are those here this morning that have never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They may have their faith and trust in man. They may have their faith and trust in good works. They may have their faith and trust in a denomination. They've never come to know Jesus Christ the Lord.